sacred scripture and sacred tradition. And then derived from the church's teaching. So, the church's teaching, scripture and tradition, and then third, an unusual source of knowledge about the angels, what we call theological reason. In other words, reason itself can give us some inclination or indication that there are angels. Aristotle and Plato, 300 years before Christ, wrote describing at length angelic beings, geologic, though Greek philosophers said, tells us that since God is himself a pure spirit, he himself then would create creatures who are like him without a body, but of course created spirits. And remember, the essence of a spiritual being is a spiritual being can think and choose. The heart of spirituality, defined theologically, the heart of spirituality is intelligence and will. What is a spiritual being? A spiritual being is a being that has an intellect and a will. And in the Catholic vocabulary, we prefer to use the word intellect rather than mind. The English word mind is ambiguous. Whereas intellect means that faculty of a spirit which can know, can assimilate within itself or what is outside of itself, and has a will, which is the opposite of the intellect in one sense, where the intellect takes in, the will goes out to. If my mind knows something, and what is on my mind corresponds to the reality outside of my mind, I have the truth. That's the intellect. Let me go on. Reason alone, however, would not prove that there are angels. Why not? Because there are no natural effects in the visible world from which to argue conclusively to a purely angelic cause. Once God revealed the existence of the angels, notice the verb revealed, we then can reflect on the propriety of their creation. What do we mean by propriety? On the suitableness. You might see the logic, which is logical of God to create what we call the angels. There are, as reason tells us, various grades of being in the world. Each one has a different perfection. There is the merely corporeal world without life. Then the living world, which is vegetative, and then the sentient. lilies, carnations, or asparagus are living beings, but they are not sentient. In other words, they do not have any sense powers or faculties. Plants cannot see. Plants cannot feel. Plants cannot hear. The sentient world is still the material world, but it has the power of the senses. Can see, can feel, can touch, can smell. And as we own animals, sometimes their sensory powers can be more sensitive and more acute than ours. Then there is the merely corporeal world without life. So that we have the corporeal world without life, the vegetative and the sentient. Essentially superior is man. How is man essentially higher than the purely corporeal world? The rocks, the stones, the water, the sun, the moon and stars. How is man higher than the plants? How is man higher than the animals? Because, as Aristotle defines man, man is a rational animal. Man has a ratio. Ratio in Latin is a word for reason. We then, as human beings, combine in ourselves both body and spirit. And the head stands the infinite being who is God. What are we doing here? We're examining the logic of God's creating the angels. Given the existence of angels, then, and this is now the divine logic, the hierarchy of beings is complete. The angels are created like us. They are spiritual like us. But unlike us, they do not have bodies. I cannot, though I spoke for the next 3 weeks, 12 hours a day, I could not exaggerate the next statement. The English language is deeply materialistic. Our language is materialistic. When we mean no one, what do we say? Nobody. Does an angel have a body? Is an angel nobody? Am I making sense of what I'm trying to get across? And this is one reason. 26 years of reading for the Holy See, the worst hit nations in the world by the crisis that is causing havoc in the world today. The worst hit countries are those of Anglo-Saxon origin, whose language is pagan. Our English language is non-pagan only insofar Here's our English words are derived from the Latin and the Greek. The very word man, M-A-N, would have created so much havoc through feminism is the Germanic word, man. The pagans did not distinguish between, well, man and woman. And to call, well, the masculine gender man and not have a separate word for a human being who could be either a man or a woman. There has to be a language which distinguishes, like the Latin, homo for a human being and vir for man, masculine gender. Am I clear? And the very feminist movement that we've got is the price we're paying for the pagan part of our English language. Consequently, the angels, as spiritual beings, are above all material reality, including man. But as created beings, they are obviously and infinitely below God. In other words, the angels complete the logic of God's creation to be consistent. God would create beings who are like himself in having an intellect and a will, and they are higher than us or than we are as human beings. Question 65. Why did God create the angels? God created the angels for his glory. This needs to be said. When we say that God created, well, the world, including here the angels, for his glory, glorify God means three things towards God. It means God, to love God, and to serve God. I cannot tell you, and this is all kinds of courses in religious instruction that just do not make clear from the younger day when children study their faith. When we see that God creates for his glory, that does not mean, it cannot mean, that somehow it is for God's benefit. All the benefit of glorifying God is for his creatures. Now back to the angels. God then created the angels so they might glorify him by knowing him, by loving him, and serving him. Now, one thing we should keep in mind, and this is on the level of love. We love with a will. We distinguish among the angels two levels of the will which they had or have. There is the before, and after. That's before and after the fall. When we use the word fall, we commonly associate the fall, well, of the human race. But there was a fall of the angels. Before they fell, the free will of the angels, being based on faith, as was the will of our first parents, based on faith, the angels before they fell, obviously did not see the face of God. They had to believe. And therefore, their freedom, if I can use the verb, enabled them, allowed them to choose between either good or bad, either to love God more than themselves or love themselves more than God. And that's the only option that all intelligent beings have ever had in the universe. There's only one battle, as I keep saying, only one conflict between two loves. The love of God, the love of myself. Before they fell, the angels could choose between loving themselves more than God or loving God more than themselves. And to love God more than oneself, speaking of the angels, always means a surrender, a giving into the will of God, giving up my will to the will of God. And that, as I've told my students over the years, is the only real, real, real pain in this world. The only real pain is surrendering my will to the will of God. Before they fell, therefore, the angelic will could choose either to love God more than themselves or themselves more than God. In fact, even the word more would not be appropriate here. Either love themselves and reject God, or love God and surrender themselves. Now, after the fall, as we know, there were then two kinds of angels with two kinds of wills. After the fall, the good angels retained their free will, but they would no longer, as we say, supernaturally be able to sin. Once you see the face of God, you not only do not sin, hear it, you become impeccable. I am P-double-C-A-B-L-E. Unable to sin. The good angels are no longer free to sin. And over the centuries, and especially in our Western society, if there is one word that we have better all understand, it is the word free. What does freedom mean? Does freedom mean merely to choose? No. There is true freedom and false freedom. True freedom means to choose what is, well, truly good. Does true freedom mean to choose what I want? No. True freedom is to choose what I need. And what do I need? What God wants. I'm summarizing years of theology and sharing these sentences with you. The angels, therefore, were free before they fell and able to choose either what they wanted or what God wanted. And our lives are like the angels. There's only one opportunity. One reason we may wonder, why was there no redemption of the angels as there has been of human beings? One reason is that the angels made an irrevocable choice. They knew exactly what they were doing. Christ could never save the angels, as he said of those who condemned him to death and crucified him. Remember? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We human beings can indeed sin gravely, but unlike the angels when they fell, we do not see clearly, unqualifyingly, what we're doing. But then secondly, those who did not obey God, the devils, do they have a free will? Yes, indeed, they do. Will they no longer have the freedom to choose what God wants? Their freedom is to choose what they want. Their freedom is not unlimited. Every desire of the devil is always malevolent. Every desire of the devil is always selfish. Hear that. How we need, not just we here in this room, how we in the modern world need to know as much as we can about the angelic world. We continue. Question 66. Would God have received the same glory if he had not created the angels? The answer of the church is no. It is the common teaching of the church that God wants to be glorified by intelligent beings. In fact, that's why we have an intellect. We have an intellect for one purpose, to inform the will of what the will should choose. The will, as I keep repeating, is a blind faculty. The intellect, or in popular English, the mind, is the teacher of the will. So God wants to be glorified by intelligent beings. The angels, who are superior to human beings in intelligence, please God, when we all reach heaven, you will no longer be tempted to envy. So I learned from teaching my own Jesuits, all bright men. But some, of course, was much brighter than others. Valedictorians from their university classes. Summa cum laudes from universities. And they join the Society of Jesus. By the time they reach theology, they really find out, oh no, 35 men in class. 6 summa cum laudes, 7 valedictorians. They return their papers to them after a quiz. Some few would get 100, others would get 90, and some would even fail a course. And one reason that intelligent people, I know, can flunk a course. They are so intelligent, but lack humility. They don't pay attention to what the teacher is saying in class. They give you their own ideas. I'm teaching theology because the church teaches, not what you think. So the angels are superior to us. And thank God, there is no envy in heaven. All the angels, without exception, are more intelligent than we. Now the angels who are superior to us in intelligence are able to give God greater glory and more love than human beings. Question, are all those in heaven, whether angels or human beings, do they all know God equally? No. Pardon me. In this room, do all of us know God equally? It's just as well only He knows which of us knows Him best and which of us knows Him least. As I found, some of those who think they know best are some of the most stupid. In any case, intelligent beings provide the ground for love. Hear it. We can love only in the degree that we know. That is why growing in the understanding of our faith is indispensable for growing in the love of God. Am I clear? We become only as generous in loving God as we understand Him. Gee. I mean, I've got to read books. I'm supposed to read books to grow my love of God? Yes, my dear. Question 67. Are angels then necessary for the perfection of the created world? Yes. We say that the perfection of the universe requires that there be creatures who are purely intellectual and volitional beings, namely angels. They are inferior to the angels in every possible way. The only thing we have in common with the angels is, like them, we have an intelligence and will. And beyond that, we are inferior in every other way. As we've said, remember, we don't have a single idea in our minds. Not one. Which did not first originate in our senses. In other words, we are rational animals. Like animals, we must be able to see and hear and feel and taste and smell. As we did not have any of the powers of our senses, we could not have a single idea. Pardon me. You're telling me. Are you saying, unless we had a pair of ears, or eyes, or a tongue that can taste, or a body that can feel, we never have ideas? That's right. And it's not just from the senses. Directly see touching something. It doesn't take too long, mothers tell me, for a child to find out that certain things are hot. They don't have to take a course in the science of heat. You'll feel it. And you know it. But again, so many of our ideas we get not just from our own senses. Many of our ideas, shall I say most of our ideas, we get from other people. But when other people communicate their ideas, we've got to have our senses intact. Like me, 1, 2, I've got to have my hearing aids on. And, well, the glasses help a little bit, but just a little bit. See, for reading. Not only are we limited in acquiring ideas from our senses, but other people who have so much to share with us, who are obviously more intelligent than we are. But imagine how humiliating it is. They've got to use their mouth. Can you imagine? Make strange sounds. Sounds. And what if they make strange sounds? Have you a pair of ears that can hear that sound? And have learned that when certain sounds are made, it means a certain thing. For example, strange sound, clip, clip. This means. So, we can't even communicate ideas except by using words. So the angels are superior to us, I repeat, in everything, except we do have an intellect and a will. Otherwise, we are inferior to them. 68. Why are angels more perfect creatures than human beings? Angels are more perfect because, by their very nature, they are more like God. And the essence of perfection is to be God-like. God is pure intellect and will, unlike human beings who also have a body. And that's why. When God became man, he could not have, hear me? God could not have humiliated himself further than he did. Retaining an intellect and a will, but becoming, oh no, what is really an animal who, shall I say, happens to have an intelligence and a will. But we should say this while we're on the subject. God became man so that by his humiliating himself, and we then become more and more like him who is God. By doing what? By humiliating ourselves. Even as he did. There is only one imperative that Christ ever gave us. Directly. To learn from him. Remember? Learn of me. For I am meek and humble of heart. Humility inside, meekness outside. Meekness is the external evidence of internal humility. One more question, we'll take up your questions. Did God have to create the angels? Absolutely speaking, no. He is not bound to create either a more perfect or the most perfect universe. He could have created a world with no angelic creatures. But we do teach, however, that God would not have created a universe without at least human beings. Why not? Because God created the universe so that his creatures would glorify him. In other words, would know, love, and serve him. And that is why everything else in the world, everything else in the world is intended by God to be a means for us to glorify him. To see his beauty in the sunset, or his power in tornado, or his wisdom in the constellation of the stars. Okay, now your questions. When somebody asked, should we spend more time on questions than we're doing? In our class on June the 2nd could be on all, just on your questions. Let me sit down. Is having a body less than being godlike? Christ had and has a body, and so will we after the resurrection. Will angels at that time still be greater than man? By the way, these are intelligent questions. Thank you. Is having a body less being godlike? Yes. And one reason, by the way, that God gave us a body is to keep us humble. Need I tell you, as your mothers know, talk about our body being humiliated. I need not go into detail. Christ had and has a body, and so are we after the resurrection. Yes. But God assumed a body in the person of Christ precisely to teach us the only real lesson we have to learn in life, the lesson of humility. Will angels at that time still be greater than man? Oh, yes. Sorry. It's not prejudice, it's a fact. And we won't envy them. We'll be more happy because we see the angels being greater than we. Where can I purchase your books mentioned on comparative religion? Well, both books are out of print. And one of my brothers picking books back into print. However, if there were enough people interested, it just takes time, which being here in class, not doing other things. What we could do is put into a... I've done this with some of my books. Okay? They could be put into a spiral until they are reprinted. Is anyone or how many present would be interested in comparative religion classes? You know what that is? This would be a course in comparing the religions of the world. I've taught the course for over 30 years. I would say this, and I will finish, well, this course this semester. And, well, it's up to you people because there are so many subjects to talk about. On the other hand, a course in comparative religion, I think, would be useful. For one thing, because other religions are seeping into Christianity. New Age movement is warmed over Hinduism that's penetrated the Christian world. So just let me know. When a priest or deacon can attend our Franciscan Third Order meeting to give Mass for us, a communal service is done. The host already consecrated. Is this all right? Well, I need to pronounce it. It is all right. You know what I'm saying? It's all right. But whatever you can do to inspire priests, and I say this with all my heart, to be more zealous, to watch television less, to have fewer vacations, to spend more money on souls and less on other things. Do we glorify God when we become as holy as we can? Oh, yes. That's what holiness means. Glorifying God to our limit. No two of us have the same limit. sometimes we get your books at King Bookstore, but they have told me to go as fast as they get them. So, what's King Bookstore?
Store in Detroit, Father. Used books.
Where is it?
Store in Detroit. Used
downtown.
Books.
Downtown.
Downtown.
Lodge Freeway in West Jones.
Thanks. Once you said, you know your guardian angel. How we get to know our guardian angels better. I like that word better. Look, you all know your guardian angels. You wouldn't be here without your guardian angel bringing you here.